Thank you, Steve Bertrand. Bill Leff is off today. He is assembling new toys, let's just say. So Harry Tynowitz is filling in for him. And you've met Dr. John Duffy before.
I love Dr. John Duffy. Bill got the complete Wonder Years toy set today. So he's assembling that.
I would like that.
He's spending a little too much time with Karen, Kevin's older sister.
She was hot.
Yes, British, you know.
Olivia Diabo?
Yes.
Yes, she was
Aussie,
very...
I believe.
I didn't think so. Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, well, she was very pretty. All right, Dr. John Duffy can... figure out Harry off the air.
Good luck on that. Many have tried before.
You can find Dr. John Duffy at drjohnduffy.com. You have a book, The Available Parent, and a new one coming out in August?
Yes, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, like parenting a teenager right now.
I am parenting one teenager, one just turned 20, and they are very different. I have one who's very outgoing and one who's a little on the shy side. I'm not shy. Jimmy Mack is not shy. I find it unusual that, but I guess there's no time for Dylan to talk because we're all talking.
Right. So. There is that, right? I mean, sometimes I think introverts are an artifact of how the family operates, you know, and shyness for sure, right? You realize, okay, well, I'm going to be quiet here. And sometimes it's the introvert who's the smartest guy in the room who waits till everybody
yes.
says their piece and then has the brilliant thing to say at the back end of the conversation.
That's true. There's a house full of blurters, so Dylan sits back and picks his timing perfectly. And there are a lot of people that are introverts, and that's not a problem.
No. In fact, the last 4 or 5 years, you guys are probably aware that it's been a little bit of a renaissance for introverts. There's been books like Quiet and The Science of Introverts that have come out and talked about the value that introverts bring to our culture, right? That,
yep.
that they're kind of like a little quieter and they're thinking more. And those of us who are a little more extroverted, we're pitching the thing the introverts are coming up with, right? If they're coming up with the app, we're selling the app. You know?
That's true.
Right. So I think there actually is truth to that. But I also think that we miss some points when it comes to introverts. One is exactly, you know, what is it? What's the difference between an introvert and an extrovert? And fundamentally, it's just like where you charge your batteries. So introverts would say, I gain energy when I'm alone. If I'm alone in my room, that's where I get rejuiced and I'm ready to go back out in the world. And most who are extroverts would say, oh yeah, that's the opposite for me. I need to be around people. That's where I gain energy. I feel more juice when I'm going out in the world.
But don't the extroverts sometimes need that alone time? Because I just know after being on the air all day and stuff, I need some downtime and quiet time to reboot.
Yes. So that's the other kind of mistake we make is we think this is binary. We think this is either or. You're introverted or you're extroverted. Most of us are somewhere kind of squarely in the middle of that spectrum.
So talking about parenting teenagers now,
yeah.
Should I be more reactionary? Does a parent need to be more reactionary in 2019 because it seems to, you know, him that their kids are doing things differently than they did it, you know, when we were kids?
Well, no matter what, our kids are doing it differently, right? Their world is entirely different.
They have a screen in their face.
Yes.
23 hours a day.
Exactly. And to the extent that you can get that screen away from their face and fill in the gap with something else, that's a good thing. There's good research, Harry, that anything more than 2 hours of screen time can be detrimental to our well-being. You're right, and
well,
you're laughing for the right
reason. Well, I'm guilty of that, too.
Think about how much time, and I don't know if you've tracked it, but I've done it a couple times, and to my alarm, it is well over 2 hours that I spend in front of a screen. And most kids, you're right, they don't know any difference, so they've not known a world without these things.
My son can spend 2 hours in front of a screen in 90 minutes. I mean, that's how into it he is. And, you know,
how old is he?
He's 14.
All right. I have a 16-year-old who spends more time on a screen than my 20-year-old. It's that age.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a difference between 20 and how old is Dylan? 16. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that Michael recognizes, oh, there's probably some difference between how I use a screen and how Dylan does, because Dylan never knew a world without
it. Yeah, that's true.
Your kids probably never knew a world without it, Harry.
Right, right. And, you know, and Reggie is like the most awesome kid. I'm so proud of him. He's fantastic. He's bright. bright, he's funny, he's clever. He would just rather come home from school and play video games more than anything else. And on Saturdays, his ideal Saturday would be like waking up and playing video games till he has to go to bed.
He's not the only kid doing that, is he, Ron?
Oh, my God, no. And at the risk of wandering off topic, but this is important, that is not always the worst thing. You know, like we tend as a generation to say video games are bad. We want our kids to be doing something else. And oftentimes we do, but there's a social element. There's a hand-eye coordination element to it. There's a lot of good to be gained from video games. It's not all bad.
He has more world knowledge than I have because he spends all that time on the computer and he'll just like go off and start reading a story and he'll say something like, "Dad, should I be worried about these Boeing planes?"
Or, yeah, they're way more plugged into the news than we were.
Right. But but the idea like that, you know, he's playing a game with four people he's never met in four different places in the world. And, you know, I was always out with the guys across the street, you know, the kids from the school, you know, and he's playing, they're killing guys, you know, they're shooting guys in the face, you know, with four strangers who could be any age.
But they're not out drinking. Isn't drinking down and having sex down?
They're not out drinking. They're not.
It is in my house.
All right.
Right? Risk-taking behaviors are down. That is all very true.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll continue talking about this. Dr. John Duffy is with us, and Harry Tynowitz is in for Bill Left today. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. We're talking with Dr. John Duffy, a clinical psychologist, friend of the show psychologist, and we were talking about introverts, and a lot of parents are worried that maybe their kids don't have enough friends. My kids don't have a ton of friends like I did when I was growing up. There was a big group of people. A lot of people have groups they hang out with, but it's kind of normal, isn't it?
For sure. And I think it's important to pay attention to your kids' inclinations. So your more extroverted kids are going to want to have a lot of friends and go to parties and have a big presence on social media, and that somehow works for them. Whereas our kids who are a little more introverted, they only need a few people to connect with. The mistake we make sometimes is assuming because they might say so, I'm perfectly happy in my room on a, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on a Saturday or Friday night. And we tend to just buy that lock, stock, and barrel. Kids want to be connected. They don't need to be connected with a bunch of kids. They don't need to be out every night, especially more introverted kids, but they want to be connected sometimes.
You know, I know that when I was a kid, we were constantly at each other's houses and stuff like that, and it's just, you know, so
it's a different time, man.
I know it's a different time, but it's like, you know, I almost feel like my son is more comfortable talking with adults,
mm-hmm.
you know, than he is talking with the kids in his school, because he doesn't want to talk about, like, you know, who would win a fight between Captain America and Iron Man. He wants to talk about, you know, what's up with Trump.
Right.
You know, and it's just bizarre because, you know, I didn't even learn a president's name until I was 30.
Yeah,
that president was Thomas Jefferson. You know?
Right. No, I think it's tricky when you've got, Harry, a sophisticated, sensitive kid who knows what's going on in the world and feels like, I don't really relate very well to kids my age. I can relate to adults, you know, and that's a skill I think we all want to foster in our kids. And here your child has it really young. But then when the idea comes to, like, sit in somebody's basement and play Fortnite or go play Ding Dong Ditch, you feel like, I don't want to, that doesn't sound that interesting to me. My press for those kids is, you know what, let yourself regress a little bit. Do it once in a while, you know, because it's, even if it's not great fun for you, it's important to be able to connect with people your age. And these are the people you're going to be with for the next several years of your life. So you want to have some of that connection. Otherwise, anxiety and depression kind of linger in the background and you don't want those hovering in your life. You
and
know?
Social media has changed things, too. When we used to hang out with people at school, you know, granted, I may have done stupid things and then you forget about mm-hmm. it and move on. Now there's so much pressure. Oh, how many followers do you have? Oh, you did something stupid and the whole school saw it. So that might be a reason, too, that he doesn't want to hang out with kids his own age. Right. Isn't it different now?
Oh, kids are so aware of the perils of social media. And a lot of them, and I'm working with kids now who are probably a lot like your guy, who feel like, you know, I'm going to step out of that. I have no interest.
So, see, some kids are aware and some kids are just the opposite. Like, my wife has an Instagram account. I'm pretty sure just to spy, you know, on the kids. But
why do you think I have one?
Okay. Well, I didn't say
why
she
do you
was,
think half the listeners have one?
I didn't say she was
nothing
dumb.
Wrong with that.
I didn't say she was dumb, but like some kid posted posts a picture. He goes, look at all this money I have. Wonder how I made it. And he posted a picture of a lot of cash and a lot of pot.
Uh-huh.
So what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, well, and what do you do with that? You can't sit there and go, okay, what's this all about? I try to ignore it.
Yeah.
But I just want to know what's going on.
I'll tell you what comes in really handy in situations like this. After a lot of trial and error, getting aunts and uncles and other people, other trusted adults involved in your kids' social media. This is something we stumbled upon in my family. And every once in a while, I would write to a niece and nephew and I would say something like, okay, you got 10 minutes. And then I call mom and dad, and then we go nuclear. And usually that post is gone.
And one of the guys that was just playing in the NBA championship, Andre Iguodala, said that players in the NBA, first thing they do when they get back to the locker room at halftime, it's not go over the game plan, what worked, what didn't work, you're having a good night, we're going to pass it more to you. Because first thing they do is they all check Twitter.
That's unreal. Well, they want accolades. That's what everybody wants.
Right.
It's just bizarre. I mean, I've got money on that game. I want you to worry about how you're going to keep that guy off the boards.
But think about how potent that is, right? So here's guys who have done something amazing in the last 2 hours, and still part of their self-worth comes from, like, how many likes did I get on that post I put in at halftime?
You're making $3 million, dude, to play basketball. How could that possibly matter to you?
So imagine being 15, not having that NBA status, and all your self-esteem eggs are in that basket.
Right. Well, my son has nothing to do with social media. He just video games.
Well, maybe you should be thankful. We only have a minute here, John. This isn't fair, but my son only has a few friends. That's it. He tells me socially he feels awkward. That's pretty common for teenagers today, isn't it?
It really is, and a lot of kids don't feel like they have an in, like that the groups have all sealed up and the teams and the plays and everything else, and how do I get in? So our job as parents, a lot of the times, is to find and create that in. So, you know, like, we're going to find you the job, you're going to sign up for the thing, or we're going to find you that class where you can get in. And for parents worried about that very thing, the door's more open than you think. Groups are less solid than you think they are in high school and in middle school.
But a kid thinks that, boy, they've been friends since third grade, and now I've met them. How do I penetrate?
But what chance do I possibly have? But kids are a little more open these days than they used to be.
Where do we find you?
DrJohnDuffy.com. You should find podcasts, the book, and just about anything else I'm involved in.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It makes a great 4th of July gift. That's all I'm saying. Fits perfectly.
Harry, you can talk to John off the air. We're going to take a quick break then. It's White Sox pregame show with Adam Hogue, and then we're going to continue on WGN Extra. It all happens here, WGN Radio.